Brother Wally, he asked at the start of the meeting if everyone was happy. I hope everyone's happy. But what would you think if I said I'd like to irritate you for a while? Well, let's look at a verse in John's Gospel. Chapter 13. The story there of feet washing, and the Lord explained to them the importance of washing one another's feet to remove defilement that they would pick up in their pathway. And really speaking, of course, we know that washing of water by the Word, taking the Word of God and using it to clean ourselves each day from defilement and keep us from defilement. But in verse 17 there it says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So we're only happy. We may know a lot of God's Word, what it says to us, and we know what we should do, but we're told here that we're only happy if we're doing it. The next scripture I'd like to look at is in Hebrews, book of Hebrews. Chapter 10. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke. Provoke is another word for irritate. Provoke unto love and good works. Well, if I irritate anybody this afternoon, I hope it's in love and it's on the good works and it's for the glory of God. That is the way I would like to provoke or irritate you today. I need it, and I think we all need a little stirring up once in a while. And next portion I'd like to look at is 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. I'd like to speak just a little bit about the Lord's table. And in chapter 10, it mentions in the 21st verse there that you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And so we see that there's different tables mentioned in this verse. I wondered why the Lord used the expression table of devils in contrast to the singular table, which is the Lord's table. I think perhaps verse 22 gives us the answer. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Well, you know, the one that likes to irritate God and to provoke him to jealousy is Satan. I believe that's why it's referred to as tables of devils. Satan's behind these other tables that are set up by men in contrast to the Lord's table to take people away from where the Lord wants them to be around himself and gather to his own name. And I used to think one time that the Lord's table was just the table, Lord's Day morning, that the emblem sat on. Bread and the wine. I said, well, that's the Lord's table. we're gathered there to remember the Lord and his death. But it's not the Lord's table. The Lord's table is a broad table of fellowship. It's really what a table indicates. It's the Lord's table. A table indicates fellowship. If you think of your home and your supper table, when you sit around that table, you have fellowship with your family. And the head of the house normally would sit at the head of the table. The father figure, he's the figure of authority in the home, and his wife usually sits next to him at the table, and other members of the family or guests, whoever may come in. And so when things are served, there's an order in which everything usually is carried on at the table. Well, it's no different with the Lord's table, spiritual table. It's really symbolic. But if it was a physical table, and it's big enough to put every Christian worldwide around it, if you put it out on Interstate 95 and you started running south, I don't know how long that table would probably have to be to seat everybody. Every believer in the whole world could sit at the table. So we see it's a symbolic table, but it encompasses, big enough to encompass every believer. But we see that there's other tables besides that table that have been set up here. If somebody came in and your home and invited them for a meal, and they set a chair down at the head of the table alongside the head of the house, well, that would cause disorder. That would cause confusion. It wouldn't be the right thing to do for someone to presumptuously take a place in that home away from the proper head of the table in the house. And so it is with the spiritual Lord's table. When someone takes people away from that table and sets up another table in contrast to it, it dishonors the Lord and it provokes the Lord to jealousy. And so it is a table of fellowship. That's what it is. If we look at verse 16, it says, "A cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" So communion is another word for fellowship. The reason that the blood is mentioned first here, because it's the foundation of everything. We meet together around the Lord, but when we meet together, the blood is the foundation, the cornerstone, you might say, of our fellowship. It's the blood of Christ. When we come to the emblems in chapter 11, it is the body that's mentioned first, and then the blood. Christ first suffered in the body, and then he shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. But here at the Lord's table, a table of fellowship, the blood is mentioned first, and it's the foundation of our coming together. And it's his table. I point out again, it's the Lord's table. It's not our table. He's the one that does the gathering. And so we find out that the Lord's table, first of all, is a table of fellowship that the Lord has set up for his people to come together and to be around him. And he is ahead of that table of fellowship. He is ahead of the body, the church. He is the one that we come to worship and give respect to. And he wants our full attention while we're while we're around him. And so that's the first thing. The other thing is that there's an identification attached to it. As we said, there are other tables. If one was to go out and go to some place where they were carrying on with a whole pile of rituals that came out of the Judaism, out of the camp, and was caught up in a table of fellowship where all that was going on, and then next week come to the Lord's table, it would be ecclesiastical evil, is what it would be. Mixing of the two together. The Lord wants our full attention. There's one Lord's table, and it's where he is in the midst. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we have principles laid out in the Word of God where his people should meet. One of those is the ground of fellowship. The other one is identification. What are we identified with? We're identified with the risen Christ. We're identified with other believers that are believe the same as we do, according to what's written in the Word of God. And there are others that are identified with the things that are taken from the camp, Israel, in the 18th verse. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? And so those people that would go to a place of worship like this, they're identified. That is, they have, you might say, a tag on them that identifies them that they belong to that place of worship. And it could be contrary to what the Lord has written down for us in his word. The other one is mentions the Gentiles and those things that they were going on with in the early times with idols and idol worship. And there were people that were identified with those things. And they were in contrast to the Lord's table. So all of those things that they were going on with in opposition to the Lord's table, you might say it's ecclesiastical evil. That's one thing to avoid as believers. The other thing, perhaps, is moral evil. There are things that one may be going on with that's morally wrong in their lives. And sometimes when one asks for their place at the Lord's table, he's given a space of time to consider things. And he may have the Word of God gone over with him to outline some of the things that are characteristic to Christianity and what it means to be gathered to his own name. And so moral evil, as we have in 1 Corinthians 5, was to be dealt with by the assembly and put away. That's another thing that would characterize the Lord's table, is putting away of those things. And the third one, perhaps it would be well, it would be, I'm trying to think of the proper word, doctrinal, I guess you might say, or the doctrine itself. Some places that people go, there is perhaps a gospel that's given out that speaks of works for your salvation. That would be contrary to the Word of God. Maybe you go to a gospel, I've heard gospels that speak, they mix the two together, works and grace. It's contrary to the Word of God. Perhaps there's a doctrine where there are doctrines out there, they say, well, Christ could have sinned, but he didn't. The Word of God says he was perfect. He had a he said he could not sin. He was without sin. In him was no sin. He did no sin. And he knew no sin. He was holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. And so there's those three kinds of evil that are, you might say, we're faced with. And so when one asks for their place at the Lord's table, we don't have a closed fellowship, but we have a guarded one. And it's because, for the glory of Christ, to guard against these things coming in. The Lord wants believers to be around himself, away from all those things. If we go to Hebrews chapter 13, some advice there in verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. Our altar is Christ. Wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Therefore, let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. To be gathered to the Lord's name, there is reproach connected to it. If we're faithful, we're bound to come under reproach for the Lord's name. But it is a pathway that the Lord has marked out for us. It's where the Lord wants us to be, outside the systems of men that men have set up, to be gathered to his name alone, and to be gathered under the principles that he has laid down in the Word of God for us. It says, For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And so there's many things out there, you might say, in the camp, that Satan has to attract those that are believers away from the Lord, away from the place where he'd have you to be. Search out the Word of God. See what God has to say about where he wants you to be. And look to him, and he will show you the pathway that he has marked out for you. It's going to be separate from the works of man and what's in man's hearts, and he wants you to be happy. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Shall we sing 256? Number 256.
Charms us, seek for conflict. Happy people, happy people, despise and